Welcome to the Bear Marriage Podcast. I'm Sheila Ray Gregoire from BearMarriage.com, where we like to talk about healthy, evidence-based biblical advice for your sex life and your marriage. And as weird as that is, I'm joined by my daughter to talk about your sex. Let's just make it weirder. Who is my co-author for The Great Sex Rescue and for our upcoming book, She Deserves Better. Mm-hmm. And for this last Christmas podcast, this is just going to be a shorter one. We're just going to do a check-in. We thought that we would also have on our other wonderful co-author that you don't hear from as often. So Joanna Sawatsky is also joining us.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
I feel like we're always recording podcasts with Joanna because Joanna's pretty front and center on the Patreon podcasts.
Yes.
Joanna's pretty much been running them this fall.
Yes.
So if you love hearing Joanna, there is a whole archive of podcasts with Joanna in the Patreon if you'd like to join.
That's right.
Would you like to hear about the origins of misogyny and my take based on Genghis Khan? I mean, you know, you can get it there.
Yeah. That was one people liked. Yeah.
So just for our listeners, you know, Bear Marriage, at Bear Marriage, we've been involved in a probably 3 to 4 year project on addressing some very serious issues in how the evangelical church talks about sex and marriage. And this podcast is a huge part of that. Thank you so much to everyone who listens. Mm-hmm. We are almost at 1 million downloads for 2022.
Yeah, just for this year.
Yeah. Like we hit 1 million downloads on December 31st of last year, 1 million overall over on the 3 years prior to that. And then this year alone, we're almost there. I don't know if we're quite going to get there, but you can help us if you subscribe and then go download 10 episodes. So anywhere that you listen to podcasts, subscribe to Bear Marriage, download some episodes and help us see if we can get to 1 million this mm-hmm. year. Cause we're close. It's yeah. doable.
It would be amazing.
But we're just so appreciative of your support. Our book, Great Sex Rescue, has been selling really well. At the point that we are recording this, it is still on for $2.99 on Kindle. I don't know if it will still be on Thursday
yeah.
when this drops, but but that's been exciting. And so that's a great thing to pick up inexpensively. Our book, She Deserves Better, which is based on another survey of 7,000 women on their experiences as teenagers. That is a fire book. Like, I think it's more fire than Great Sex Rescue.
Oh, that's a big claim.
It is. I'm so excited about this book. The book cover matches your hair.
It does.
Your pink hair. And that will be out in April. You can pre-order it now. But for this final podcast, we want to make this more personal. And we just wanted to thank our community for being part of everything that we've done in 2022. Mm-hmm. So our last podcast of the year. And I especially wanted to do this because looking back over December podcasts in 2020 and 2021, we always had a rather depressing one.
Oh, yeah.
Where we started off by talking about how homeless we felt with church. Obviously we stopped going to church in person with COVID, but it reminded us that,
we didn't have anywhere to really return to after COVID was done.
Yeah. And so we talked about that last year. At the end of the podcast, at the end of the year in 2021, I talked about how, you know, we're still looking for a church and we're not really feeling it. And what's been really difficult on our faith has been how the faith leaders and the authors and big names in the evangelical world have really disparaged us and ignored our research mm-hmm. and threatened lawsuits and all of those sorts of things. So just to see that people didn't care.
And not only do they not care, they will go to great lengths to try to shut us up.
Mm-hmm. And so this year, I wanted to check in with you again, because if you listen to those two podcasts, they're depressing. I mean, they're real. It's where we were at. But I just wanted to let y'all know that this year's been a good one for us, mm-hmm. 2022. And so we thought for the three of us, all in different ways, but similar. So we thought that we could check in and just let you in on that. So first of all, Joanna, January 1st of last year, or this year of 2022 will look very different for you than January 1st of 2023.
It's January 1st of 2022. We woke up with what turned out to be a nasty, horrible, terrible, no good stomach bug in an Ottawa hotel on our way back to Iqaluit. We were supposed to have a vacation there. And let me just say that I do not recommend having four people experiencing a stomach bug at the same time in one hotel room. That is
when,
all
the, when the youngest is only a year old.
Oh, it was horrific. It was so bad. We have so anyway. So yeah, so we were heading back up north to Iqaluit, and
which is in the Canadian Arctic. For those who do not know, it is the capital of the province of, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Nunavut.
Yes, it's the territory of
territory,
Nunavut.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Territory.
And it's Nunavut, which I didn't know until I moved there. I was saying none of it until we got there. And then people were like, no. Still don't say Iqaluit correctly. It's supposed to be Iqaluit. Whatever. And that's not even correct. I'm not doing the guttural thing correctly. But anyway, yes, we were living up north, and we had just, it was a wonderful place to live. But also the Arctic is we were told before we moved that it'd be the best place we ever lived and the worst place we ever lived. It was, living there was like this. You'd look out. If you looked far, you would see the beautiful bay and the Arctic Ocean beyond. You would see mountains, gorgeous tundra. But then if I looked out my living room window, what I saw was a tundra hill covered in trash.
Mm-hmm.
And so the juxtaposition of the poverty of the north and the challenges of living there, combined with the beautiful landscape and the wonderful culture of the Inuit people, there's many beautiful things there, but there's also lots of really hard things. And that also came down to infrastructure issues and things like that. And so we decided to just see what would happen about finding a job in the south, which just means anywhere not the Arctic in Canada. I laugh very hard that we are in the northernmost city of more than a million people in North America, and yet it's the south. But yes, yeah, so we ended up relocating to Edmonton, Alberta in April of last year. And we are just absolutely loving it. My kids think that living in a city that has a museum with tons of mammoth skeletons and kids' areas, and they have a topographical map that overlays a sand table that they just discovered. So as you move the sand around, they're like, you make a mountain or a lake. My inner child is very jealous, I will be honest. I know I'm not using the term inner child correctly, but you know what I mean. The little
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you started off this year living in
Iqaluit is fine. That's what people say. People say that up there all the time, but there are folks who try to say it more correctly, which I do appreciate whatever they do. I just never mastered it.
Yeah. And now you are living in Edmonton, Alberta. And why don't you tell us, because you guys had a church up in Iqaluit.
Yeah.
But now you found another one. And do you want to just tell us about your experience finding a church?
Yeah. So we in Iqaluit, they have a wonderful Anglican church there that has amazing using a lot of the local materials in the church. So it feels very different than any other Anglican church. But while we were in Iqaluit, they were doing bilingual services, which was perfect because they should be serving the people who live there, which means not the white people, but the people who actually live in Iqaluit, which are people who speak Inuktitut. So it was 2/3 Inuktitut, 1/3 English, and they didn't have any kids programming, and it was a long service. So that was just not really an option for us. But we had a wonderful house church there with some great friends. And then when we moved south, we thought, well, we've had such a good experience with the Anglican church. And I also realized that, like, everybody whose work I read that really, like, got into my soul and shaped my faith. So like C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. I love Madeleine L'Engle. Like, I'm going through this list of authors and I'm like, oh, they're all Anglican. Huh.
Madeleine, A Wrinkle in Time made me cry so much as a child. And then when I read it aloud to you guys again, I cried. Like, it's just a beautiful book and a beautiful series.
She gets the gospel, right? Like, she got it, man. And I was like, oh, okay. I'd always felt like my faith was kind of different than the folks I knew in evangelicalism. And then I went, oh, yeah, it's fine. I'm with these people. Like, this is just where I fit. So we rolled up to the cathedral downtown here in Edmonton because it was close to our house. And it's beautiful building and absolutely gorgeous choir and no kids, which is kind of the stereotype of high church that I had. And we were like, well, we're gonna make it work and figure it out and hope that this gets better. Ooh. And then the first week we went, we went up for the adults to have communion and for our daughter, who's four, to have a little blessing pronounced over her. And both the dean of the cathedral and the other priest who's an associate there are both women. So wonderful. We went up for the thing. My daughter was like, goodness, we're in this big building. It's beautiful. There's all these very important people. They're wearing special outfits for the occasion. And somebody looked at her specifically and told her how much God loved her. And she thought that was the bomb. So she went back to the pew and got all cuddly and just wanted to snuggle with mommy after that. And then we were on the way home and she looked up at me in her little four-year-old face and she said, "It was a girl."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yep, we're going to go to a church that has a female pastor because I have two daughters. Mm-hmm. And you need to see that girls can follow Jesus too. And then actually I ended up going out to coffee with that same priest. And she said, "So we think you're great. We don't really have kids stuff, as you know. Our building is not built for having kids stuff. We're figuring it out. We're working on all of the policies. But right now we're in a tricky spot." So honestly, there's a parish down the street. It's a bit further for you guys to go, but you need to go to this other church. And I was flabbergasted because a priest was telling me to go. We were there. We were a young family. And instead of going, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, they are our salvation, let's use them." They went, "Yeah, no, you're going to be your good is to go to this other church. We will figure ourselves out."
Yes.
"But for you, the right thing is to go to the other church." And so we rolled up to the other church and I walked in and they had pew boxes for the kids by the door. And inside the pew boxes, there were coloring pages and Lego. And I thought, you're okay with noise. Because if you've ever built Lego in a quiet room, you know that it is impossible to do it silently. And the best is very occasionally, there will be a Sunday where you have three pew boxes crash within one service. It's like music all its own. Anyway, it's been great. We absolutely love it. The priest who's in charge of, who runs the church, is like magic with kids. And so every week she walks in after the cross with the choir doing the processional, and all of the children just come out and follow her up to the front like the Pied Piper. It's the cutest thing, except not dark, because the Pied Piper is very dark, but you know what I mean, like just children flock to her. They flock up to the front, they have a little children's moment, and then off they go to Sunday school, and they just love it. So it's been so fun to see my kiddos blossoming. And it's been wonderful for us to feel like we've got a church home, really for the first time in a long time. It's been years since we felt like we had a church home.
Yeah. And you've made some friends too. You're starting to make some friends.
Yes. Yes. We're making some friends. And we made one friend, and we realized we were already following each other on Twitter.
That is the 21st century problem, right? Like, man, like, we totally see eye to eye. Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, but it's been very nice.
Yeah. And just for our listeners too, to reiterate, you and Josiah, your husband, grew up in far more evangelical churches.
I'm the first non-Mennonite to marry into my husband's bloodline in a very long time. And I was raised evangelical, but both my parents come from high church traditions. And I have lots of family who are even some who are clergy in high church traditions. So it felt much more like coming home for me, even though I wasn't raised in a high church milieu. I'm very comfortable and familiar with liturgy and have always really loved it.
Yeah. Great. So that, of course, the other big thing that happened to you this year is that you finally became a Canadian citizen.
Yes. Over Zoom.
Over Zoom.
Climactic.
And then unfortunately you did so after Queen Elizabeth II passed away.
Oh, I'm so mad.
So you had to pledge allegiance to King Charles rather than Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. The weirdest thing was too that Josiah had to do his call to the bar in Alberta, which is a perfunctory thing you have to do to become a lawyer here, and that also involved an oath to King Charles because he missed Queen Elizabeth by like a week.
So you both have pledged allegiance to King Charles, and I don't think anyone else in our family. I wonder if the military members have had to repledge allegiance. No, I don't think they do. No. So I don't think anyone else in our community.
No, I mean as an American, like the thing about America is that we don't do kings like that. That's the founding idea, right?
The queen kind of felt like a little bit of a loophole, right? Or it's like, well, at least it's not a king.
But at least it's like Elizabeth. She's sweet. She loves corgis. She does the nice Christmas messages. Like, I mean, there's lots of issues, but like, at least it's her. So anyway, I had kids and I went, okay, well, if they have a monarch, I can suck it up and officially have a monarch. So now I officially am a subject of a monarch. And I don't love it, but we're here.
Yes. We are glad. We are glad that you are Canadian and you and I can both share dual citizenship now and have to file multiple tax returns every year because of it. Okay. So there is our update on Joanna.
Yes.
So she is no longer homeless, nor is she spiritually homeless. I mean, not that you were homeless up in a cellar, but you kind of were because you didn't have drinking water. So
ooh, there was that. That was rough. And I mean, honestly, no, my daughter looked up at us yesterday at supper and she said, I have a big question. And we said, honey, what's your big question? And she said, how did we fit in our house in Iqaluit?
And I'm gonna be honest, Mari, that's a very good question.
I have probably never laughed that hard because I was like, mommy did a lot of work.
Yeah,
and there were things in every little corner. If we could hide something there, we hid it there.
Yeah, so, but you know, I mean, isn't it amazing, like, as you're gonna remember that experience. It was 18 months for the rest of your life. I mean, it was an incredible experience living up there, and God provided for, like, God used that in such an amazing way because Josiah was able to get jobs at a younger age that he would never have been able to get otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's totally recalibrated his career, and mm-hmm. he's had such a wonderful experience as a government lawyer. So it was very worth it. It was very challenging mm-hmm. to be in the North, but also very, very worthwhile and mm-hmm. something that we really enjoyed. Our kids had a great experience. They loved it. I mean, my daughter just running around the tundra, like, she's just a winter kid. So she loves being outside and getting to enjoy that. So it was a really special place. And I'm so grateful to have gotten to see the Arctic and to spend some time there. Mm-hmm. But we're also very grateful to be in Edmonton with infrastructure where I'm not worrying about diesel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my drinking water.
Mm-hmm. All right, Becca. So you live, just for our listeners who may not understand this, in the middle of
467 meters from my parents' house.
Yes, which in feet or miles is what, Joanna?
More than that.
The same ish in yards.
Yeah. Same ish in yards. Yeah. Okay.
So you live around the corner from where you grew up?
Yeah, I do.
And which is nice because we can walk and see the kids mm-hmm. all the time. And you moved to Belleville, you moved back to Belleville from Ottawa just as COVID was starting.
Yeah. And then we kind of were holed up at home for a while. And then this winter, Connor and I kind of looked at each other. We're like, okay, you know, our baby girl has gotten all of her first shots and everything. So I think we might be ready to actually rejoin society. And so we started looking for a church, and we actually got messaged by a lot of people who listened to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Who are from this town.
Thank you all our Belleville listeners.
Yeah, I know. Not a lot, but a couple, because our church wasn't that big at that point. And they're messaging us saying, I know that you're really struggling with finding a church in Belleville, but you just got to check out this one, right? And I'm not going to say which one I'm going to, but you just got to check out this particular church. And so eventually I said, okay, fine. Because, you know, when you get messaged by people online, it's like everyone thinks that they know what you need.
Yeah,
because they only see one side. And then I got to was like, oh no, they were like legitimately right. Like, yes, this is a really good fit. So anyway, we started going to this church in like the early winter last year after having the pastor over and grilling him for an hour and a half. He was a very good sport.
Yeah. When a pastor is willing to be grilled for an hour and a half, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even want us to necessarily start coming until we had a chance to talk to make sure that we understood like what the community was about, because they tend to not be about normal church things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, we're going to a small table-based church. It's kind of what we call it, a table-based church, where it's not as much about intense Sunday school programs and 5 million volunteer hours and having the best praise band and having, you know, an actual production mm-hmm. happening. It's much more focused on community and sharing lives and actual discussion versus teaching, mm-hmm. which I love. Mm-hmm. I really love. But the big thing is we tend to be a church that kind of has attracted all the people who have been rejected by the other harmful churches in the area. So we're kind of like a little bit of a church hospital.
Yeah.
Where everyone's here to lick our wounds a little bit. But as a result, we do have a lot of people who already listened to the podcast and already knew what I did before I even started showing up, which I don't need people to know what I do work-wise because I have some ego thing. It's actually more for me. It makes me feel spiritually safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have never been in a church community, even my healthy church communities, where I didn't have to somewhat apologize for what I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I've always been in church communities where evangelicalism was the norm mm-hmm. and was expected to be the norm and was always given the benefit of the doubt. And right. so when we started calling out love and respect,
mm-hmm.
I had to like defend that to people who frankly, like I thought should have gotten it, even at mm-hmm. my healthy churches.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And whereas here where I am, everyone understands it. Even if they don't agree with me, they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're like, they might think I'm going that they don't necessarily agree with this particular point, but yeah, you keep doing it because we have to change. Like this has to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really nice being in a place where people know what we do and it doesn't make them, you know, angry or defensive, or it doesn't make them think that we're crazy mm-hmm. in essence, because I'm in essence going to church with the kinds of people who listen to podcasts like this.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's quite lovely. We're really enjoying it. The great thing is it's 50% kids like age 7 and under. So Alex has so many friends for the first time in his life. He has friends.
COVID baby.
COVID baby. Yeah. No, he has actual friends and it's so nice. Mm-hmm. It's just been really quite encouraging, especially to see what a church that's trying to not have hierarchy looks like mm-hmm. as well. And a church that's trying to actively combat the kinds of dynamics that lead to spiritual abuse or, you know, other kinds of horrible things happening in churches. Like we're in a church that just isn't just like, oh, we just don't have those problems right now. It's more like we're actively trying to never have those problems. And right. that's a really big difference for me. And it's not evangelical either. That was one of my big things is after all this work, we couldn't go to an evangelical church again.
And what do you mean by that? Just because I think a lot of listeners are going to wonder what you mean by that.
Oh yeah. So we're at an Anabaptist church.
Anabaptist.
Which okay. is hilarious because my background, I was raised, like we went to an Anglican church when I was first born.
Yeah. In Toronto.
And so the Mennonite family is now going to Anglican and the Anglican family is now going to an Anabaptist church, which I find really funny.
It's great.
But in essence, like evangelicalism for us is just because of the work, we just can't be in a community where that is mm-hmm. the church right now. And I'm not saying that all evangelical churches are bad. I love my evangelical church from back in Ottawa. Yeah. Genuinely think they're good people, safe place. It's yeah. just because of what we do. I just can't take the language. I can't handle the evangelical culture anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I mm-hmm. want somewhere where it's based around the Eucharist rather than based around the teaching.
Right.
I want somewhere where, you know, it's focused on being the hands and feet versus so much intellectual discussion.
Yeah.
And those are just some differences that I've noticed. And so we're really happy with where we are right now. And we're really encouraged to see that. I really think there is a groundswell that's happening. Our church has like doubled in size since we started going.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a groundswell happening where people realize that, hey, we need to build churches that are built around doing good things for other people rather than just checking off piety boxes for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. What I love, and I know you're not going to share a lot of details on this, but your church budget is so low. And you guys came in ahead of budget. Like your aim yeah. is not to spend a lot on the church, but instead to encourage people to be hospitable and spend money helping others.
Yeah.
in your life, which I think is awesome.
So, anyway, that's something that, yeah, we've been encouraged. We're seeing a lot of things that are really big green flags for us. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people go into the church to listen to the podcast, so it's very awkward to talk about it. But, yeah. So hi.
Whereas I am now going to a church where nobody knows what we do, but it's okay.
Yes.
My mother lives with us, and my mother and my husband and I have landed at one of the larger Anglican churches in our town. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's been really restful. I think I have always volunteered so heavily in every church I've been in.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice to not be expected to do a lot.
Well, because you're at a church where like everyone who's there, a lot of them are retired and have a lot of time they give to the church.
Yeah. And although we did get asked to read scripture during the service.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
It's like, yeah, sure.
That's really sweet.
They said, are you comfortable reading in public?
Again, no one knows what you do.
Oh.
Are you comfortable reading in public? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
But and Nana too. Nana would do it better. Oh, Nana's goodness. Amazing. Anyway, but I'll tell you what I've really enjoyed about the Anglican Church. What was bothering me and what I was finding difficult, because we were going to a good church. It was it was 35 minutes drive. It was evangelical. We were going to a really good evangelical church before COVID. And I don't have anything against that church at all.
No.
I think it's a really solid, a good church.
It was we hear people are going to that church. Like, oh, great.
Oh, good. Yeah. It was a longer drive, which I didn't like. But the bigger thing for me was that the service was really, they tried to keep it super short, and it was just a bunch of music and a really good sermon, and the music was good and the sermon was good, but I can get good music and a good sermon on my computer, like just listening. And so that wasn't what I needed. And I'm like, I really need, I need to feel,
you need sacredness.
Yeah. I need sacredness. And the other thing is that sometimes I felt like, and this isn't an indictment on that particular church, because I felt this everywhere where I've gone, where there's been a lot of praise music, is the goal seems to be to get you to feel a certain emotion about God. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in the place to feel that.
Yeah.
And that's not something, I know that that's really important to so many people. And at different points in my life, that was so important to me.
Exactly.
Like I led praise teams. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing at all. I'm just saying that for me, what I really wanted was for someone to pronounce truth over me, whether or not I felt it.
Yep.
Because for the last few years, this has been such a slog, and it makes you wonder, like, is God really there? When all the people who are supposed to know scripture and believe in God are doing such terrible things in the church, like, is God really there? And what if I'm not feeling God right now? Mm-hmm. And so just to have people pronounce things over me, and you know, what the nice thing about an Anglican church is that in every service, there's like 3 to 4 scripture readings.
Yeah.
And so you're actually hearing a lot of scripture in Anglican churches. And then the sermon is always about one of the scripture passages. So it's very focused around scripture, and the readings and the prayers all have scripture in them. Like, I have never felt such scripture in a church service as when I started going back to the Anglican church.
Yeah.
And I really, really love standing for the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, the gospel reading in Anglican churches, you stand up for, because these are the words of Jesus. Yeah. And they distinguish between, you know, the words speaking about Jesus and the other parts of scripture. And I feel that this is just a plug for a podcast that's coming up that Joanna and I think are going to do with maybe Marg Masco or someone else in January, where we're going to look at how Emerson Eggerichs used scripture in the book Love and Respect.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, you think it's bad and it's worse.
But Joanna actually created a spreadsheet of the 200 and I think 11 scripture references. It might be 9. I might have my numbers wrong. We'll get, but it was just around that 210 point. And like, 10% of them or less were from the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Very few were actually the words of Jesus. And this is what I find so often, is that we make all scripture equal.
Yes.
And I know this is a really, really controversial thing that I'm about to say, but I believe, and this is actually an Anabaptist belief, I think what I'm about to say is that you interpret scripture through Jesus.
Yep. We're told that every single week where it's like, yeah, Jesus came to show you how to interpret scripture. You have heard it said, but I say unto you.
Yeah. You interpret scripture through Jesus and he is the focus. He is the actual word of God. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus shows us through his life and his words, how we interpret scripture. And instead what we have done is we have taken scripture passages out of context.
And we've used those to interpret what Jesus is.
Yeah.
We've done it backwards.
Exactly. And I often find too, in a lot of these really fundamentalist books, do you notice how they never say the word Jesus?
Yeah. Hardly ever.
They say God all the time. They say biblical. They say Christian. They say God's word, God's will. They never say Jesus. They can't talk about Jesus because what they're teaching doesn't actually mesh with the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so that has just been really healing for me to stand for the gospel. It's such a little thing.
But just the idea of taking Jesus's words so seriously that you have to stand when you hear them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've really, really appreciated that. So I just wanted to let y'all know that we're all in good places now, because the last 2 years we've had these really negative podcasts in December, and we all are in good places. And I am not saying that all of you need to end up in an Anglican church. Becker is not in an Anglican church. No. We're not saying that for anyone, but I think for all of us, we've massively changed the kind of churches that we go to.
Yeah, massively. It's interesting when Connor and I are making our list of what kinds of things were non-negotiables for us. It was like, oh, wow. So we can't go to any church that we would have happily gone to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We can't go to a single one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, and but we I really do on Sunday mornings, I'm excited to go to church again, just because I know I'm going to be able to take deep breaths and I'm going to feel calm and I'm going to feel peace. And, you know, it's really lovely. And I love how too, in the Anglican church, everything is geared towards the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion. Mm-hmm. You know, you go through the prayers, you go through repentance, you recite your creed. This is what we believe. You read the scriptures and everything is leading you towards the table, which is actually the focus. The focus is not the sermon. The focus is the body and blood of Christ. And I just think that's really neat.
That is something that we've noticed at our church as well. Yeah, and every single doing communion every single week. Mm-hmm. is a big cultural difference that I don't think people who haven't been at a church who does it every week understand. Yeah. Doing communion every single week versus once a month radically changes the focus of the church.
Yeah. And I want to add that
because the big thing is like it forces so that the sermon can't overtake communion.
Yeah.
Rather than we shorten communion only once a month so that it leaves more room for the sermons. Yeah. Right. Like that's a huge cultural shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I want to just plug that this is not like a post deconstruction thought for us. Like I learned this in college when I went to a Lutheran church for a couple of years. So like, this is just a thing, highly recommend test it out, for yourself. The other, to me, the Anglican church is really grounding as opposed to there being an ask, like you roll up and it's just the service to me is summarized by the words that they say directly before communion, which is the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And that is my favorite moment. I just wait for that little phrase every week and I'm all excited. That's what it is. And the whole service feels like the gifts of God for the people of God. The creeds are a gift. The scriptures are a gift. The Eucharist is a gift. All of it is the gift of God for the people of God. And it's been a lovely place for us to find home.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that is where we are. And last night, Rebecca and I were recording an unfiltered podcast for our patron community. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate our patron community. I just want to give a shout out here.
Yeah. While we were all spiritually homeless, you guys were also kind of our church.
Yeah, like our Facebook group is just amazing. And there's so many people who are walking through very similar things to us, you know, trying to figure out what to do about church, trying to find authentic community.
And we've also gotten to see a lot of people in the Patreon go from feeling like there's no hope there that you're ever going to find good peer mm-hmm. community to actually finding really, really great people that they've connected with at really fantastic churches yeah. that they never would have thought.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing to also see everyone else going through the same journey we are.
Yes. but you know, our patron community, it doesn't cost very much. You can give whatever you want to give, like as little as $5 a month will get you into our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. We have unfiltered podcasts. We have special merch for the higher tier givers, but you know, everyone's the same in the Facebook group.
Yes.
And that community gave us the funding to do the survey for She Deserves Better.
Oh yeah. Because it was supposed to be like, we were going to do like a 30-day mother-daughter devotional kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, quick little devos for moms of daughters. And then it became the Great Sex Rescue 2.0.
Yeah. Just a huge project. And so that funded that. It funded Joanna and I speaking at the American Physical Therapy Association convention in February. Mm-hmm. It funded a paper that Joanna is writing right now as we speak.
Well, it funded all not currently. Time. It also funded the research that Joanna did for the Good Girls Guide and the Good Guys Guides to Great Sex, the yep. updated ones.
Yeah, it funded our survey of men.
Yeah, funded the survey of men.
And we have a lot of new projects we're going to be talking to you about in January. We've been thinking bigger. And so we're going to have an update in January on that. So just a shout out to our patrons. We really appreciate you. And you could join our patron. It's just patreon.com. That's patreon.com/baremarriage. And you can join us there. The link is also in the podcast notes. But last night, Rebecca and I were recording a Christmas one, because you had this really neat thought. And I think it fits so well with what we've been talking about. So do you want to share it?
I'll share it in the incredibly truncated version. And again, if you want to actually hear our conversation, go join Patreon. What we were talking about is how, as we're discussing, you know, how women have been so often forgotten or mistreated or just kind of pushed to the side in evangelical circles.
And not just evangelical,
but in other faith traditions, talk about evangelical circles, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking a lot about how can we make sure that women, you know, are given the same authority and power as men. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the story of Christmas, of Christ coming to earth as a little baby, I was just thinking this through. And I was just thinking, what if we just have it wrong? What if the problem isn't that women need to have more power as much as we need to call men to humility, and we all need to kind of reshape the whole thing? Like, women and men should be equal in terms of power and hierarchy, 100%. But what if we just have too much power
and hierarchy
in some churches? Mm-hmm. Like, what if the whole idea of how we do pastorship mm-hmm. and how we do leadership is just not how Christ modeled his life? Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think Christmas can be a time to think about, because mm-hmm. what does it look like for God to come down as a baby who soils himself?
Yeah.
Yep. And breastfeeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who nurses, who struggles to latch, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. God comes down into this little being who giggles when you do little farts on his tummy. Yeah. Like, that's not very, it's a base experience, mm-hmm. right? And I guess that's just what I've been contemplating, is maybe the issue is not only that we need to give women more power, as much as it is that we need to strip power from the church.
Yeah. And think of it instead as a community, mm-hmm. as the hands and feet of Christ.
Yeah. Where there is no longer slave nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we fully live that out, but there's also no longer, you know, power haver and no power haver, right? Like, the gospel is supposed to be a great equalizer. And so why in the name of the gospel have we just created some people who can't be touched?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that just needs to go away, because the answer isn't simply to give women the same opportunities to have power over others, mm-hmm. as much as it is to say, how do we make a church where you don't have power over others?
Yeah. And that's been the question that we've been asking as we've been looking to find new church communities. And that's an important question, I think, to keep asking. And the church is going through such a big upheaval right now. It's 500 years in the making mm-hmm. since the Reformation. And I think that we are rethinking what it means to follow Christ. And so it is a confusing time. And so I just want to encourage people, keep asking those questions. And isn't it neat that even in the midst of all of the questions and all of the upheaval, every year we still have Christmas and we still are reminded of the God of Emmanuel who came with to be with us, to show us what it means to live. And so those are just some thoughts that we wanted to share with you today, to tell you that we're in a good place now. And we pray that if you're not, if you are, if you're kind of feeling like we were in the last 2 years, and if you're feeling homeless, just keep pressing in. Mm-hmm. I pray that you'll be able to keep pressing in and keep asking God to help you find where you need to land. But just realize that in the wrestling, there is also, there's a reason for the wrestling, and the wrestling can be good. The wrestling can be good.
I hope you liked hearing our more personal podcast that we do every year. I also hope you have a wonderful Christmas season with your family. You won't hear from us again until the new year.
Mm-hmm. I think first week of January, we got a barn.
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't
be surprised. Barn burner? Barn, yes. Yep.
that's kind of how we roll. So we will see you then. Until then, have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Yes. Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.